The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to verses 30. It is page 319 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. Today, we will share about the role of the husband's part in the family. There is a pastor called Gordon MacDonald who wrote a book titled Order Your Private World, which is one of the bestsellers in Christian literature. He serves Grace Chapel in Massachusetts. At the church, there was a meeting for adult men on first Monday evening of each month. Once, they advertised the meeting as follows. Evening with Gordon, to be followed by football and food. Normally, not many people attended, but on that day, the meeting was totally packed. The theme of the talk to be given that day by the pastor was what men must know about women. It was hard to know whether so many people came because of the theme of the talk or the football. Pastor MacDonald was preparing for the lecture at his office when a man whom he hadn't met before came in and handed him something that looked like a present and said, I was coming to church when a woman gave me this. She said, make sure I hand you this before you begin your lecture. So he opened the wrapping and found a book. The title of the book was What Men Know About Women. And when he opened it, there was not a single word, and there was exactly 100 blank pages. There's a pastor called Floyd McClung who serves YWAM, and he was born as the son of a pastor and lived a devoted life from his youth. When he graduated from Christian Church at the age of 24, he married Sally, 23 years old, the next day. And instead of going on a honeymoon, they went on a short-term overseas mission trip. But no one had counseled them about marriage, so they didn't know how to express their feelings to their spouse wisely, how to be considerate to the other, and how to listen to the other. This person wanted his wife, Sally, to be a combination of Mother Teresa, Betty Crocker, and Elizabeth Taylor. What he had expected from his wife, from the image of Mother Teresa, was probably devotion, obedience, patience, and no complaints, and such like things. And Betty Crocker is now a famous food brand, but she was actually a very famous food researcher and writer in the United States. We can think of her as somebody like Ha-san so-and-so or Lee Jong so-and-so, who are well known as food researchers and cooks in Korea. Now, Elizabeth Taylor was one of the best actresses in the history of Hollywood. Generally, it is said that the men look at only three things in a woman as a wife. First is beauty, second is physical appearance, and the third is face. But I guess this person was very thoughtful even at the age of 24. But his fantasy about his wife was broken only on the second day of his marriage. The day after the wedding, he said to his wife, "Can you bring me breakfast to bed?" Having breakfast in bed was an old dream of his, which was very precious to him, and he kept it for a long time. But his wife, Sally, started to laugh, looking at him. He felt that something was not going quite right. She said, "I have never prepared a breakfast in my life." So on that day, his old dream disappeared into cold cornflakes. It is important to understand that dreams that you kept are literally just dreams and not reality. A marriage is not a dream or an idea. But there are many people who are not able to leave behind marriage in imagination, even after a few years or much later after marriage. Yesterday, May 21st, was a couple day, which was designated as such to remind people of the preciousness of the relationship between husband and wife and to encourage them to make harmonious families. It was first started or memorialized by a pastor couple in Gyeongnam Changwon in 1995 for the first time and became an official memorial day, was designated officially as a couple day in 2007. That May 21st is a couple day has the meaning that in the family month of May, two should become one. But that a day like this has to be designated also means that the relationship between a husbands and wives is not all well. If we look at different articles in the papers about things happening in families every day, it looks like the fights between couples are no longer drawing a line in water with a knife, but actually cutting a line with a knife in the flesh because of a momentary anger. Irrevocable consequences are sometimes brought on. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 testifies about the husband's role, the husband's part in the family as follows. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If the role given to the wife in the family is obedience, then the part of the husband is love. If husband lives off of the wife's respect, the wife lives off of her husband's love. That the wife needs love means that the wife can be most wife-like when she is loved. A wife who is not loved by the husband is no different from a domestic helper. When Sunday morning, people of the village went to church. Before the service began, people gathered in small groups here and there to talk in the church. Suddenly, Satan appeared on the lectern. People ran out of the church in panic. Or some started screaming, putting their heads on the ground. But one person sat very quietly in his seat as if nothing was going on. Satan, who became flustered in turn, went to him and asked him, "Do you know who I am?" "Oh, yes, of course I do." "You're not scared of me?" "No, I'm not scared of you at all." "So why aren't you afraid of me?" "Look, I've been living with your sister for 25 years, okay?" If there are husbands who think like this about their wives, it is completely the husband's fault. These husbands had not loved their wives. The model and the goal of husband's love for wife is Christ. Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. We could perhaps think, why do we need any model or a goal? If husbands have to love, isn't it enough just to love? But this is not so. There is a big difference in there being a goal or not. For example, let's say there are two students who are studying for the test at each of their homes. One student commits to himself, I will study from page 1 to page 100 before going to sleep and studies. While the other student commits to himself, I will study until I feel sleepy. Which one would study harder? Probably the first one will study about 10 times harder. The second student would probably, well, first make instant noodles to eat to make sure he's not hungry because he plans to study late into the night, and also drink several cups of coffee or green tea to chase away the sleep because he's going to study late into night. And after all this, a lot of time would have gone by already, and his eyes will feel very heavy even before reading 10 pages, and his book on the desk will begin to look like a pillow. The husband must have the correct model and goal in order for him to confirm whether he's walking on the right road as the head of the household and how much he has to go in order to arrive at completeness at being a husband. It is only possible for a husband to love a wife when he understands that Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 to 27 testify about what Christ wanted the church to be like. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Originally, we were beings who were dead in our transgressions and sins. Even so, it says that Christ takes us, the church, to a place of holiness without any blemish. This means that Christ is intensely devoted to us in holiness. Christ did not refuse to take on the cross and die on the cross in order to take us there. In order for the husband to bring his wife to that place, the husband must live in a faithful and sincere way in order to bring his wife to that place. There's a joke about good wife versus bad wife. Good wife tries to be like an angel, but the bad wife believes that she is the angel. Good wife is happy, even with small present, but the bad wife harasses the husband for buying the wrong thing, even when the husband buys her a present. Good wife does not reveal her husband's mistakes, but for a husband with a bad wife, a mistake immediately means punishment. Good wife drives a car the husband buys for her with gratefulness until it is scrapped, but the bad wife yells at the husband for being so late in buying her a car. Good wife thanks her husband when he tells her she's pretty, but the bad wife asks him when she was not pretty. Good wife is happy in buying her husband a brand new suit, but the bad wife stares at her husband and asks whether he has a new lover when he tells her he's going to buy a new suit. Husband can't get mad at good wife because she immediately brightens up. But a husband can't say a word to a bad wife when she's angry. To do so would mean instant execution. Good wife thinks about how good her husband will look as she irons his shirts, but bad wife yells at him when he tries to put one on that he wears them as soon as she irons them. Good wife doesn't fight with her siblings. Bad wife later criticizes her husband for taking her side when she fought with her siblings. To good wife, there is nothing sadder than her husband's death. bad wife gets mad at her dead husband for dying too old for her to get remarried. But really, who makes bad wife or good wife? And of course, it's the same the other way around. A good wife or a bad wife is actually made by husbands. Husbands make wives who are mature, who are sincere in faith. Long time ago, there was a TV advertisement copy which read like this: what a man is like depends on what the woman does. Is this true? No. According to God's words, what a man is like does not depend on what the woman does, but what the wife is like depends on what the husband does. There are many husbands whose egos are hurt because the wife is better educated or earns more money. But I have never seen a man who is concerned, whose ego is hurt, because his wife is better, has better faith than he does. There are many men who joke that they can get to heaven just by holding on to their wife's legs because her faith is so sincere. But there is no husband who jokes that his wife will get to heaven just by holding on to his legs because his faith is sincere. We should be able to tell the faith of the husband by observing the faith of the wife. She has such a great faith. And so, I wonder how great her husband's faith is. Who led her to be this way? A husband is doing his part when he leads others to wander this way. When husband loves the wife in the family, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us how to do so in a very detailed terms. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It says that husbands are to live with wives with considerateness. This is so because love is not an emotion. Of course, there are feelings when we fall in love. There is the feeling of anticipation when we go to meet, and the heart. There is the heart beating while we meet, and the sweet longing when we part. But it is said that these feelings disappear within a year and a half to 2 years. At the maximum, it is supposed to last only for 2 years and 6 months. This kind of heartfelt feelings are gifts of being in love with somebody new. So this means that if you see someone for more than 2 years and 6 months, or if you marry someone the day after meeting somebody new, this kind of feelings will pass within 2 years and 6 months. If there is someone among us who do not want to part with her husband when he goes to work, although they've been married for more than 10 years, and who experience their heart beating in the evening around the time the husband comes home, enjoy at seeing him again. If there are such symptoms, then perhaps you should go to the hospital. Maybe the heart will beat because he screams like a dictator, or maybe he can be violent with children. If everything suddenly must stop, and the whole mood of the home changes because the head of the household comes home, there is a problem with that house. And by the saying, be considerate with you live as you live with your wives, does not mean to be considerate after the fashion of the secular world or follow after the way the parents lived in the past. It means to live in consideration of the words of God that has made me a husband and a wife. Therefore, without knowing the words, it is not possible to have a biblical family, a family that God desires. In order to live with considerateness with a wife, it is necessary to have an understanding of how different men and women are. It is probably not an exaggeration to say that a man or woman are completely different creatures who are able to communicate. If this difference in men and women is not understood and learned well, the family becomes a hothouse for a conflict. There are following sayings that express the difference between a man and woman. A woman is like original paper in psychology, and every man is like an amateur translator of such paper. A woman must be looked at with a microscope, but a man must be looked at with a telescope. A woman is a small print in the newspaper, and a man is the headline of the newspaper. A woman speaks what comes to her mind, and a man speaks what he has made up his mind to say. A woman expects a quality in love, but man brags about quantity of his love. A woman pretends not to know even when she knows, but man pretends to know even what he doesn't know. A woman's conclusion is all men are alike, and a man's conclusion is what can you expect from a woman? A woman's face is an invitation, and a man's face is his resume. A woman is prone to evil because she is weak, and a man is prone to pretense because he is good. Every woman dreams of a prince on a white horse, but most of the time, he turns out to be the horse driver. And it is said that the woman is the more weaker vessel. This is a saying that is meant to emphasize the responsibility of the husband. Man was created to be stronger than woman. A man and a woman was about to get married, and the father-in-law sent a letter encouraging his son-in-law not to fight with his daughter and live well. And at the end of the letter, he added the following words, prone to breakage, caution. He was a very biblical father-in-law. There is one more thing which is required of husbands. It is to treat your wives preciously. In order for the husband to treat his wife preciously, he must first know in what way the wife wants to be treated preciously and to be protected from. If not, a man could think that he's treating her with most respect, but the wife could feel that she is being ignored. In particular, people want others to understand their weak points and be respectful of them. For example, a husband can ask something and the wife may not know the answer. Let's assume that the husband says then, why are you so ignorant? Now, if both husband and wife graduated from college, then each of them may not take such things so seriously. Of course, it's not a nice thing to hear, but wife could probably treat it as a joke, saying, yeah, so I am ignorant, so what are you going to do about it? But let's say the wife only graduated from elementary school or junior high school. Such words would almost amount to an abuse, and actually it is worse than physical abuse. In hearing such words, the wife could remember how she agonized because she didn't do well at study when she was young, or how she could not go to school that she wanted to go so much while all her friends put on uniforms and went to school because of her family's financial situation, and now she had to work. A wife could have a low self-esteem because her family is now well off as her in-laws. And this is the same for the husband. And she may want to be protected from her appearance that she doesn't feel great about, or her personality. Although it may not matter at all to other people, it could become a point of insecurity when it comes to one's spouse. Complaints and hurts come to accumulate because the couples do not learn how to treat each other preciously. It is necessary to know what easily hurts the wife as soon as possible, and it is necessary to quickly figure out what things irk the husband and make him feel insecure. A general rule can't be applied because each person's vulnerable spots are all different. And it is necessary to know what the wife wishes to accomplish, what the wife wants, and respect that. This could be some work that she wants to do, or a hobby, or something small, like a diet. Now, it is possible for the wife to fail at a diet and eat ice cream or cake at night. At that time, if you say, "Wow, you're really on a roll," and criticize her, there will be revenge. A person does not change by hearing advice, but only by compliments and encouragements. The people at Philippi received Roman citizenship because of their accomplishment and participation in wars and were very proud of their citizenship. This was because Roman citizenship was given to people who were not Romans on discretionary basis when they achieved special accomplishments for Rome. So, and it was also a property which could be only purchased with great sums of money. Therefore, people of Philippi thought of living as Romans as the highest value. But in writing letter to the people of Church of Philippi, Apostle Paul made the following recommendations, saying that a worthy life for Christians lay elsewhere. Verse 27 testifies as follows. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. It says the right life for Christians consists of treating the gospel, which Christ delivered to us with his life, his death, and his resurrection, in a weighty manner, to treat it preciously, and to live in a manner worthy of it. In practical terms, it is to cooperate with one another, standing as one, with a single will, for the sake of the faith of the gospel. In order to link shoulders and to wage war against the secular values, it is really difficult to achieve victory unless the people who are waging the war stand together with one heart and with the one will. The person who is most responsible for standing upright in the family is the husband and the father, who is the head of the household. The couples must link their shoulders, and the children, in seeing their parents linking their shoulders together, should be able to link on their shoulders. Unless the husband or the father provides the center of gravity, it is very difficult for the family to stand upright and proceed in a healthy way and to nurture the family in the way that God desires. Several years ago, I had dinner with my college friends. Among them, three were attending church, and one of them did not go to church. While we talked, the topic of family came up, and the friend who did not attend church said the following. "You know, I really don't care if my wife loves me or not, but I just wish she would do a decent job in raising our children." This is probably what most Korean men have in their mind. Husbands, however, must become more proactive in participating in the family. Of course, work at the jobs are tiring and difficult. Most husbands think it would be good for husbands to take care of what happens outside and the wives to take care of what happens at home. But it is not possible to form a family based on faith this way. A male believer heard the pastor preach that parents should have a lot of dialogue with children at the church. So that evening, he called his son, who was a high school student, to have a conversation. So these two sat down at the sofa, but he found himself not having anything to say because it had been so long since they talked, and there was almost nothing that he knew about his son. So he asked, "Did you have dinner?" and told him to get back to his room. And an old pastor went on a vacation for the first time in a long time with his wife. They went to a condominium, unpacked, and made dinner and ate together. But there was nothing to do after that, nothing to say to each other. Now, this pastor went to church as soon as the dawn came, worked all day at the church, came on very late, slept at home only, and went to church again, and had been living this way repetitiously. And so during the few days of vacation, as soon as they ate together, the pastor watched television, using the television remote control, changing channels from one to another, and the wife took a walk by herself, this way and that, and they returned home. But this is a bit of an extreme case, but many families in our society probably do not vary greatly from these two examples. Because the husbands go out of the house early in the morning and come home late in the evening, they don't know how the kids are growing up, what happened in the family. Many men return to family when they get older and have established themselves in society, but the place for the husband, the place for the father, is already gone in the family. This is the painful reality of our society. It is said that the most common saying left behind by men to wife on deathbed is, "I am sorry, I love you." But these are words that should be spoken while one is alive, not when one is dying. The best inheritance for the children is to show how they are obedient in faith and love one another. This has more meaning and more value than leaving behind millions in money. When the couple is not an obstruction, but a stepping stone, our children will also become a stepping stone for one another using the parents' example. This is a way to make an important contribution to humanity just by having our families be established well through generations. To the husbands and future husbands who wish to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, God says the following: "Husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Let us pray. Father God, we thought today about the role of the husband in the family which you have allowed us. Because wife does not obey her husband in the way that the church obeys Christ, and husbands do not love their wives in the way Christ loved the church, even to the extent of bleeding. There are so many families in which, although the couple sleeps together, the husband cannot go to sleep in anger, and wife cannot go to sleep because of hurt, although they appear to be fine outside. And there are so many families in which many couples look like they're together, but they actually have their backs turned on each other. So they must travel the earth in order to meet each other. We confess that these many crises of the family are due to husbands and wives being away from the words of God. We pray that true healing will begin with Christian families. Allow each couple to have a relationship based on personal respect, to listen to each other's cares, to help vulnerable parts of their spouse. In particular, we ask for your mercy on the husbands and future husbands. May they be faithful at work which you have allowed them. May their workplaces be the very places in which God works. We pray all the more that they will not think that they have done their duty just by earning money for the finances of the family, but we ask that you will provide additional grace so that they will live up to their roles as the spiritual leader of their families as well. And all of us have weak spots, in the same way that Apostle Paul did not trust himself and trust God more because of weakness. Allow us to become people who trust the Lord more because of our vulnerabilities. Help us to undergo the training at being the husbands who love their wives and wives who are obedient to their husbands, starting from this 100th Memorial Anniversary Church, and may people who have not yet formed families make the commitment to do so at this hour. We pray once again that you will watch over the families of this earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.